part two of the interview with Benjamin Kanarek.
Okay, now your next question is, what is the reason I left Canon for Pentax?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right. I guess you know I was sponsored by Canon France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what happened. I was just leafing through some magazines, and I had been using, you should know, it's not like I never used Pentax. That would be a total fallacy. I owned, and have owned, I should say, in the past, the Pentax 6.7. Uh-huh. My first ever camera was the Pentax K1000, which, when I was at architectural school in Ottawa, the school bought, I think, 60 cameras, and everyone bought one. They got a special student's price, you know, and I ended up, you know, that was my first camera, and it was built like a tank, and I know that Pentax lenses are awesome. And so, you know, so you're reading the chronology just to show you that, you know, what I've gone through. My first camera was the Pentax K1000. When I started doing fashion, my very first kit was all Nikon. I was Nikon through and through. The F3, HP, the high points, the titanium bodies, all Nikon. And the reason I switched to Canon was I bought my girlfriend, who was a model at the time, that's actually my ex-wife, who's the mother of my children. Yeah. I bought her a gift. I bought her a Canon. I think it was called the, was it Canon EOS 5, right?
I think I've heard of that, yeah.
And it had autofocus, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what I found with my Nikon gear is, you know, sometimes when I was shooting, a lot of my stuff was out of focus, not because I couldn't focus. It's just sometimes I would have the models do stuff that I had great difficulty focusing on. And so I bought her the Canon EOS 5, and I played with it one day. And I started taking pictures with it, and I went, holy jeez, my stuff's all in focus pretty well. You know, when I say all, I mean like 90% of it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. So I went to this place, giving them advertising, Cirque Photo in Paris. I took all of my Nikon gear. I mean, we're talking serious. Three HP bodies, high point, three grips, I think 11 lenses. And I went to this place and I said, I want to exchange all this stuff for EOS, for the EOS 1.
Huh.
Which I did. Because, at that time, Canon killed everyone for autofocus. So that's how I got into Canon. Now, what happened, the way I became sponsored by Canon was there's a magazine called Photo Magazine, and the editor-in-chief, his name is Eric Colmeydage.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to do a story on me. And I had been using Canon anyways, and he introduced me to a guy named Pascal Briard, who heads up Canon France. And he was delighted that I was basically getting the kind of exposure I was getting, and he suggested perhaps Canon could sponsor me. And in doing so, they were going to give me a lot of press, which they did. I mean, they did stories on me. They did advertorials in different magazines like Chasseur d'Image, Photo Magazine. You know, I can send you. I think I have sent them to you, or perhaps you'd like to see some of the press I got with Canon. But nonetheless, Canon then, a couple of years ago, put on a huge exposition with my work. They featured me as their photographer of the year. And basically, whenever I needed Canon gear, I didn't really have to buy stuff. I could just ask them, if I had a big shoot, I'd just call them. I'd say, I need a 1DS Mark II and stuff. And
wow.
You really don't have to buy gear when you reach a certain level. You don't. I mean, Steven Meisel doesn't even own a camera, as far as I know. He just rents, and I no longer have a studio. I haven't had one in God knows how long. Anyways, usually the client rents it.
Wow.
Here's exactly how it happened. I'm going to be honest with you. Everyone's listening.
Okay.
You could stick. Okay, just remember, when you do a photo shoot, let me just backtrack for a moment. I've been at the festival, International Festival of Fashion, since the 3rd. I've been in the 3rd, the 4th, and I'm going to be in the 5th. Now, please understand this. I had, and everyone knows this, I had a 6x4 meter. Now, 6x4 meters is serious. We're talking about 25 feet like 14 or 15 feet. On the boardwalk of Cannes, which is probably one of the most famous landmarks in Cannes, where everyone walks, and that's where the Cannes Film Festival takes place, my images were exposed there, okay, with other photographers, but I was one of the, I had three expositions happening in Cannes in that year. It was 2 years ago. Now, they printed on a 6x4 meter poster a shot I shot with a 6 million pixel Canon 10D, all right? So what I'm saying is the following. If you know your support, and I know my support, by that I mean if I know I'm only being, if I know a photo shoot I am doing is only going to be in magazine support, perhaps posters up to maybe, I'm going to speak in meters, 1 meter by 70 centimeters, which is about a little more than, I would say a yard by 2 feet, you know, we're talking 3'2". I know that 8 million pixels will suffice, largely, because I know that when they actually go to press, the maximum DPI they're going to come out with is 170, and that's in really good magazines. Generally, it's 130. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to use a ProBack, fine. But you're not going to see it. You're just not going to see it. All right? Fine. That's your choice. Now, I understand using a ProBack because if you're going to be going huge, and if you want to print out a 300 DPI, perhaps. So here's my point. I was looking through a magazine. I saw that I was never interested in Pentax. I knew that digitally at the time. Sorry, all these other guys. I just wasn't attracted to it until I saw the K10D. I read a few articles and went, holy shite, stabilizer, lens clear, 10.2 million pixels, tropicalized, nice looking camera.
Yeah.
Okay, I never saw it in the flesh, okay? So I made a call, anonymous call, to Germany, to head office for Europe. And I said, can I speak to the head of professional, you know, relations? So I get this person on the phone, and I said, excuse me, I'm just curious, could you tell me a little bit about your camera? And he said, well, who are you? I said, well, you probably don't know who I am. He said, well, can you tell me your name is? Because I said, my name is Benjamin Kanarek. And he said, okay, and I'm sure he was tapping away on Google. Because I said, yeah, this K10D looks really good, and I've heard that, you know, there might be a 645D. He said, well, not for a while. I said, well, what's a while? He said, well, you know, a few months. And he said, well, what are you using now? I said, well, I'm using stuff. I'm using Hasselblad if I need it. And well, he said, well, what DSLR do you use? I said, well, I use Canon. He goes, oh, okay. So... he said, excuse me, can I get back to you, Mr. Kanarek? I said, yeah. So I get a call back about an hour back from Germany, and they go, Mr. Kanarek, you're sponsored by Canon. I said, yes. Okay, what are your intentions, Mr. Kanarek? I said, I have no intentions. Well, what are your intentions? I mean, are you interested in the Pentax? I said, yeah, I'm curious. Tell me more. Mr. Kanarek, would you ever consider changing brands? I said, well, that depends. He said, okay, let me get back to you. So, that was the end of that conversation. So I get a call about 10 days later from Canon France. And they go, Mr. Kanarek, we've got great news for you. We would like to sponsor you. And I said, we'd like to sponsor you, and what do you want? Now, what you have to understand is that if I were another Canon user, even a professional Canon user, it wouldn't have been as interesting to them, because here's their coup d'etat. Their coup d'etat is the following. Here they have a Canon sponsor who, for the first time in the history of Pentax DSLR, please, because we know everyone uses 6x7, from Peter Lindbergh. I mean, the best people in the world use a 6.7. There's no, but nobody has ever done that crossover, and nobody with that kind of notoriety that I had in France, uh-huh. and perhaps in Europe. So they knew what they had in their hands, and they said, what do you want? I told them what I wanted, and they said, anything you want.
Wow.
And I said, okay, let's go for it. And I basically have been sponsored by Pentax officially since, I think, about 2 months. And I'm going to be at their show in Paris in October, from October 3rd to the 7th. It's going to be a huge event. They're actually building a studio for me.
Wow.
Where they're going to build a 50-square-meter studio, and I'm going to be there kind of sitting back as a consultant, and people will be able to come in, shoot with a real model, real stylist, real hairstylist. There'll probably be 6 or 7 K-10s or whatever else is being, if you know what I mean. In October, we don't know what will be representing the Pentax line.
Yeah, there might be something new coming out.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there'll be new stuff, always. There's always new stuff. But you know that. I mean, there's always going to be new stuff. Now, I won't say what will be coming out, because I'd be lying, because I don't know. But I've gotten some hints.
Mm-hmm.
But does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I mean, I read some of that on the forum before, but just wanted to get it out on the podcast for anyone who doesn't know the story. But Are you happy with the Switch so far, or is there like anything that you liked about Canon?
Let me tell you, yeah, sure, of course. Okay, when I sat down with Yazid Delmati, and I'll share this with you, you know, because I'm not going to bullshit you, and Pentax knows what my concerns are. I said, Yazid, what was Pentax thinking? They've got this, pardon me, Nikon people. It is as good as a D200. There's no comparison to a D80. It's a joke. It's a D200, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's a D200. That's what it is for me. But without a Synchro X input, so you can't plug a cable into it? And he said, yeah, I know, Ben. I said, I understand that 90% of the people are using a radio control, which I have. I mean, it's true. Everyone sticks a radio controller on it. But what happens if it screws up and you want to plug in? So I had to buy a couple of Hama hot shoe adapters with a Synchro cable input adapter, which is kind of a pain in the arse because the way it doesn't hang on the side, it hangs over the viewfinder, so you got to kind of haul it off. But it works,
mm-hmm.
okay? But so that was my major gripe. And I was pissed that they didn't have 3200 ASA. I said, look at Yazid, I know how to make 3200 ASA out of 1600, but how many people are going to know how to do that? And I can make 12,000 ASA out of this camera. It's pretty simple, but it'd be nice to have it. And he said, probably firmware update, you know? So those were the two gripes. How do I love... Okay, another thing I noticed was the following, and this is not a gripe. This is conditioning. I have been conditioned to Canon color since the 10D.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? You get used to a color. You understand?
Yeah.
The way the skin comes out, everything's different.
Yeah, just like...
You know what I'm saying? Have you shot with other formats other than Pentax?
Yeah, actually, I've been... I shoot with the Sony A100, which I just got, and our school uses Canon, so I've been using those different brands.
Okay, so you can see the color between Canon and the Sony sensor.
Mm-hmm.
They're different, aren't they?
Yeah, you can
color rendition.
And also just like your general shots, like how you set them up. If I shot the same settings, I'd definitely see a difference.
Yeah, you would. So what I found was very interesting. First time the stuff came up on the screen, I went, whoa, oh, what's this? And I thought, this is very strange. And I looked at it and I realized, oh, wait, Ben, you know, you've been looking at Canon. So, I mean, I put it in through ACR, and I figured out a couple of other things that are important. You know, Profoto is a much better color space than Adobe 1998. Nonetheless, I was a little freaked by the color. Not that it was bad, not at all. It was different, and I wasn't used to it. But what I did find, which was great about this camera, is what I see on the screen, and I've mentioned this on forums, and what I see in print are totally different. The print quality is incredible. So what I will say is the following. If you cannot get pro quality images out of this camera, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I will say the same thing about the Sony. This is what I wanted to get to. This was my point. I'm not saying it's happenstance that I'm being sponsored by Pentax, but perhaps had Sony come up with an alternative to Pentax, I might even be with Sony. But one thing I find much more attractive about Pentax is their medium format potential. And I know that when I've been assured by Pentax, when the 645D comes out, I'll be the first to get it. So that is something I would use under different circumstances. And I've been asked, will I not shoot the DSLR if I get the 645D? And the answer is absolutely, I will shoot the K10D, because in most applications that I'm shooting for, in shooting 31 or 32 million pixels is overkill. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
I have not had to interpolate with the K10D to fit all of the magazine formats I've shot in, where with the Canon at 8 million pixels, I had to interpolate, not a lot. And when I use the Canon DS Mark II, it's just another... Basically, I'm saying is that in most cases, if you're a good photographer, if you think about it, 10 to 11 million pixels is a hell of a lot of pixels for a page in a magazine.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to, you know, personal ergonomics and quality of lenses. And the argument I see by the Canon people and the Nikon people that Pentax do not have a big choice of lenses is a crock of cow do, because I have too many lenses and I don't have that many. They've given me, I have the 21 to 40, the 70, the 100 macro, the 16 to 45, and the 12 to 24. And I'm totally covered. And in fact, my last shoot, I exclusively used the 40, and I used nothing but the 40. So, I think in September you're going to see that Pentax will pretty well have covered all the bases required in terms of lens arsenal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like very similar to the whole with me choosing Sony and like the lens selections and how the camera feels in my hands and things like that. But, I mean, they had, like, the same problems as you kind of had with Pentax and how, like, they don't have the sync ports and certain things like that. But
yeah. Well, that's going to change with Sony, because Sony's going to really be kicking some serious arse in the next few months, because they're not going to rest on their laurels. I'm sure they're going to be a serious company to contend with.
Yeah, because they have those two prototypes that they just showed. And, I mean, that Pro one, is if it has the specs, if it's going to be full frame and... if it's going to be like 6 or 7 frames per second, it'll be a huge contender for like the 5D. And it's probably going to be priced cheaper. They're saying around like 2,000 new, like to 2,500, so.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you something. I think in the next 2 years, the playing field is going to change dramatically. I think, let's look at the Pro 35mm cameras. You could buy... a really good pro, semi-pro film camera for around $600 or $700. You know, and we didn't have to worry about obsolescence, because we're shooting film, and the body, as long as the body is working, the lenses are good, we weren't dealing with disposable cameras. And now we're dealing with very expensive disposable cameras. I mean, my ideal situation, of course this will never happen, was, you know, it would be really cool if you could keep the body and you pay maybe 30 to 40% of what you paid, and you take your camera into a special place and they just exchange the sensor. I mean, I know there are a lot of other considerations. You just can't do that, of course. But my point being is the following, and that is, whether it be Sony or Canon or Pentax or Leica or whoever, what we're dealing with today are disposable cameras. Expensive, but disposable nonetheless. And so you've got to really, really invest your money in good glass. And I think we're going to reach a point soon where, and I think it's going to come up really soon, should the Earth still survive in the next couple of years, which I hope it does, but nonetheless, I think we're going to be in a situation where you're going to reach a level where really it wouldn't matter which brand you shoot. Really, you're reaching a point now of overkill that if you shoot with your Sony, I mean, I could take your Sony, go into the studio, and do exactly what I'm doing with any camera, and that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's Sony or any of the brands, and I'm sure Sony are going to kick some serious ass, and I think Canon has to stop riding on its laurels. They have some serious stuff to consider. I think the one great thing about Canon is they have their own proprietary sensors, which is great. I think Pentax needs to do that. I think the fact that Nikon are dependent on another manufacturer for their sensors is pretty scary, because no matter how friendly the competition is, they're going to hold back. And, you know, I mean, look at Sony. They were the first to introduce a 10 million pixel, you know, camera.
Yeah.
And what I'm a little bit freaked out about Sony, and the only thing I have to say is, here they are designing some of the best sensors in the world. Why can't they get their software programming down? And I think they really have to define their market. I think if they go full frame, which they probably will do, they're probably going to have to change their software parameters for professional application, and that means not over-sharpening, keeping it really neutral, and giving the pro photographer as much flexibility as they can in post-production. But, you know, all this infighting over Nikon and Canon and all of the other brands is ludicrous, because I find that from the forum, I mean, actually the forums are kind of tiring me out, I'll be honest with you, it's the first time I'm going to say it. You reach a point where you realize that there are people who aren't actually going out there and taking pictures. And what they're doing is they're spending 90% of their time in front of their computer basically just looking at pixels. Seriously, I mean that seriously. Mm-hmm. And rather than going out and perfecting their art. And as I said in an earlier post, I actually did a photo shoot just for fun. I have an old 2002-2003 Canon G5 with 5 million pixels that just so happened to have a hot shoot and shoots in RAW. And I did a shoot with it, and it was published. So the bottom line is, if a camera is reasonably good, if the resolution is reasonably good, and if you know what it's going to be used for, you can probably be published with pretty well anything.
Yeah, I mean, and like that makes sense too. Like if you think about it, I mean, like the only thing it's coming down to nowadays is like personal preferences, like with lens selections, and then you also could go into things like the processor and the camera and stuff. But if you're only shooting like in a studio, you're still going to be able to get those same shots.
Exactly.
But now
in the studio, you're absolutely right, Philip.
Yeah.
Because in the studio, I'm shooting at 100 ASA. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless I don't, and I don't want to. In every single condition, Philip, because I'm not known as an outdoor shooter, I am generally shooting on location, interior, so I bring lights.
Mm-hmm.
So let's call it a studio, because it really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's basically a studio that's been decorated. You know, I've got my studio. So any internal space for me is a studio. So if I know I'm controlling my light, I have nothing to worry about. The reason I push it to 800 is I want the grain.
Oh,
I want the grain.
You like the grain?
I want the grain because I like it.
Huh.
And these people are freaking out. I just shot this. I have never shot 1600 with the K10. I thought, that's it. I've had enough of this vertical banding crap. Let me do it. So I just stuck it on 1600, and I did the most adverse conditions possible. And I thought, uh-oh, Canaric, you're going to see banding, uh-oh. And I did it, and I thought, and I'm using an incredible screen. I'm still using a cathode screen because it's just too good. I'm using a Mitsubishi Diamond Pro 930, which is basically the Lacy, and it's incredibly, brutally sharp. I couldn't find any banding. And I looked at the 1600 results, this is really pretty. I like the way it looks. I like the grain. And when it translates to print, you know, the grain, Philip, is not nearly as dominant. You hardly see it. You know what the grain on 1600 looks like on the Sony and on this camera? It looks like, no, 400's not even fair. It looks like 200 ASA, ISO, negative film. That's what it looks like.
Wow.
Not slide. That's what it looks like. If you scan, I mean, the other day, I haven't used my scanner in a long time, but I stick a 35mm slide in my scanner. And I looked at it, and I this was 100 ASA Provia. And I looked at the grain, and I went, oh my God, golf balls. So really, you know, I was against digital. I mean, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, if you said ban digital, I put a crucifix in front of you and go get away, you know. And I didn't tell you how I got into digital, but you can ask me that later.
All right. Yeah, because, I mean, like, the only things that I think about is, like, the Canon Mark III that just came out. I mean, the 10 frames per second, if you're shooting outside with sports and stuff, that's going to be an amazing camera. And also, yeah, and I also saw examples of their, like, their ISOs. They showed, like, a 3200, and, like, my camera, the Sony one, the noise is actually pretty bad. But, I mean, I rarely shoot that high anyway, so it's not too big of a deal for me, but...
What are you shooting maximum, 800 ASA?
Maximum? I try to, yeah, my maximum is usually 800, but in general, I shoot, like, 200 or below.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, because I also have, a low 86 I can shoot in, but I usually don't use that.
Oh, yeah, but what? Pardon me, I didn't understand that. Oh, a low ASA on the Sony, isn't it 50?
Yeah, no, they have a low 80, sorry. Low 80 and a high 200.
A low 80, okay, I gotcha, okay. Yeah. That's great, okay.
Yeah, I said 86 specs, and yeah, it's a
little... You know, originally, Pentax was supposed to go from 50 to 3200.
Oh, really?
That was in fact, I have some ads. I have some guys who came out too quickly in some of the French photo magazines, you know, advertising, you know, basically the Pentax, and in the ad, they say, or in the review, they say, yeah, Pentax 50 to 3200, and... I can understand. You see, I have to also understand, which I'm not being fair about, is there are other shooters using the camera under much more adverse conditions than I am. I'm not shooting outdoors. I'm not shooting sports. And if I do shoot outdoors, I usually bring a flash anyways. I'm not talking about a camera on flash. I'm talking about either HMI, cinema lights. And so... Another thing I like to do is I shoot real slow shutter speeds. I'm never shooting over an eighth or a 15th of a second when I'm using flash. That's just part of my style. Because I like to do a subtle double exposure, and you don't even see it, but it's there, you know, which basically gives me two images on one, which thickens it up. That's a totally different technique. But, you know, so basically I'm always shooting at a 15th. I'm not worried about what 18th of a second flash sync or maximum. You know, and I'm always shooting manual anyways. When I go out, when I play the tourist like I did today, I'll take the camera, stick it on A, you know, aperture priority, and shoot in RAW. I'm always shooting in RAW. And, but, you know, I can tell you something really interesting. I noticed today, I hadn't looked at my Canon stuff for a while, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I still have all my Canon gear because I, you know, I paid for all that stuff. And I looked at some images I shot, and, but then again, it was with the Sigma 18 to 200, but it was pretty sharp. I was shooting it around 100 millimeters, around 6.3 or 7. And interestingly enough, there's more grain in the Canon than I used to think.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting, you know? And there's grain, you know, but I must say Canon, sorry Pentax, but Canon still got it when it comes to high ISO, Canon's still the champion.
Yeah,
and I told Pentax that,
mm-hmm.
But I said I don't give a shit. It's okay because I never shoot that high. But what I can say about Pentax is that at 1600, it is beautiful, and it looks really nice. And I see no banding, and because I'm shooting correct exposures, you know. And you just have to know how to use your tool, you know.
Yeah.
Look at when the 645D comes out; it's not going to shoot more than 1.5 frames a second. And I'll bet you it's not going to go over 800 ASA. And I'll bet it's going to be really dirty over 800 ASA. I mean, try to shoot 400 ASA with with a pro back and see what happens. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very nice.
It's not made for that.
Say again, sorry?
It's not made for that, is it?
Well, it is, they say, yeah. I mean, when I shot Swarovski, I used two things which freaked people out. The client was freaking because they wanted me to shoot 6.7, and I said, his name's Jean Collette, he's a very famous creative director, and I said, Jean, are you sure you want to, I mean, I was ready to shoot film. I mean, I still have medium format stuff here. I'll tell you about that in a second. It's pretty funny because I used to be sponsored by Fuji. Nonetheless, I wanted to shoot digital because it's so convenient, you know, and you shoot a lot less because you see it as you're shooting, you know. And I've learned more than in 1 year with digital than I learned in 5 years shooting film, because you get instant feedback. You can think on your feet. You can respond. You can be reactive. You can react immediately on, you know, because you see what you're getting. Before, I had to shoot a Polaroid and see, you know, Polaroids are shite. You really don't know what you're reading. It's not even close to the color you're getting. So I said to them, I said, look, they looked through my book, and they said, yeah, we want this. We want film. And I said, Jean, I mean, everyone thought it was film. And I said, my whole book is digital. And he says, get out of here. There's no way this is digital. I said, yeah, it's all digital. And they didn't believe me. I said, yeah, it's all digital. It's all in my post-production, you know, what I'm doing, you know. And is it generic? I've known you a long time. We did some kind of, I trust you, okay? So just to be safe, because I knew the Swarovski campaign was not only in magazines, I knew they were going to use them in all their shops for the Christmas displays. They were going to be, some of the posters were up to 2 meters, like 7 or 8 feet tall by very narrow stuff. I said, okay, here's what I'll do. So, you know, I shot at a studio in Paris, and we basically rented a whole digital workstation. So we rented a Blad, which I hate. Sorry, Blad. I find them so cumbersome. It just, blah. I hate being tied down to a tripod. I can't move. So we basically used, I can't remember what kind of back was. It was a 22 million pixel back. But guess what I shot my still life with?
The Pentax?
A 20D.
A 20D?
The 20D and a Tamron 90 macro lens. So if you go to my page, I'll send you some. I mean, now just remember something. Because I'm shooting, okay, so the way we shot it, the model would be wearing a piece of jewelry, but I would reshoot the jewelry super close up so they could encrust it on her, so it's super tight and all the details there. That's how it's done, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though she's sitting and doing a full shot with her, wearing something, I'm literally going to be shooting it independently, and they're going to literally sandwich that which I shoot over the original, because they want to see every single detail. So just remember one thing, though. When I shot macro, 8.2 million pixel macro, remember the macro is filling up it's literally filling up the whole frame. So if you take the proportion of my filling up the whole frame of that sensor and stick it into the 22 million pixel image, the relative resolution of that macro shot must have been 2 to 3 times greater than what I was getting out of the Hasselblad, because it was so huge in the frame. So I actually shot my still life, and the funny thing is, the feedback I got, it was the first time in the history of Swarovski that they didn't have to shoot a separate ad for North America than the rest of the world. Because in the past, they wouldn't like what was being done in Europe, so they'd do their own campaign. And it was the first time they said it's great for everybody. And I actually got feedback from people, the tech people at Saatchi & Saatchi, the ad agency. They couldn't believe how tight and how sharp and how good the images looked. And that was shot with a Canon.
That's good.
Yeah. So you can see I'm not against Canon.
No, I can see that. Because, I mean, there is strength in Canon, but, like, for you, like what the things you shoot, Pentax works just as well.
Well, they've also they're offering me to go with it. They're gonna you know, look. Let me tell something. If Pentax were shite, I wouldn't be using it, no matter what they gave me. It's just not gonna happen. That would be professional suicide. Mm-hmm. So it has to be good. I mean, it has to give me what I need. So obviously, when I had some problems with one of the 21s they sent me, I freaked. I went, hey, Yazid, I don't want to have to go into a photo shoot and worry about whether my lens is going to be in focus or not. So they literally took my lens, sent it off to Germany, did tons of tests on it. They said, yeah, it's back focused. And they sent me a new one, and it's perfect.
Oh.
Nice. So I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe the chipset. I don't know. Maybe the chip is weird. But the one I have is, whew, it's scary sharp, you know? So I just want to know that when I go to a shoot, it's very simple. I don't want to have to think about my camera gear, because I never do. Because once I get into a shoot, I don't even know I'm holding a camera in my hand. I totally forget. I just know that I'm pressing a shutter, I'm capturing an image. And in fact, I feel like it's kind of weird. You shoot so often, you forget you're holding the tool. It's like you forget you're holding the paintbrush when you're painting a picture. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to have to worry. I don't want to think about it. I want to know when I press that shutter that what I'm seeing is what I'm going to get. And that's what I told them. I said, look, you guys, get your shit together. I didn't say that in those words, but I basically implied that. So, yeah, I think I'm good for Pentax, and Pentax is good for me. I think they're very excited to have me on their, you know, they're happy to have me there, you know, because I'm actually a pro using the K10D, and I'm actually being published with it.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm sure a lot of amateur users would like to hear that a pro has the, you know, is using that bit of gear, you know.